coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, a new ticket structure in Disney World that could be coming to Disneyland, Downtown Disney updates, more pay for cast members, we discuss the 50th anniversary of Disneyland with a special guest, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this, our 50th episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of September 26, 2018. I'm Tague Bushman. Teresa's home recovering from a nasty stomach illness, so this week I am joined by...
Producer James! And no, I'm not the special guest to discuss the 50th, so you'll have to wait for that one. We would like to send a shout out to Janie and Daniel for supporting the show at the Park Hopper level, and Kay for joining the Club 33 level on Patreon. They will get access to the supporter Discord chat, some nice DL weekly swag, and more. We are sending out special charter supporter items to the first 50 supporters of the show. If you are one of the first 50 before the end of October at the Park Hopper level or above, you will get this special perk. This is one time only, so if this excites you, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/support.
If you want to have a voice in the podcast and our discussion topics, please head over to DisneylandWeekly.com and click on the discussion topic vote at the top to register your vote for the next discussion topic. We've been getting a lot of good response, so please help be a part of the future of the show.
And if you would like to celebrate Halloween in style, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to check out our new Halloween time logo wear. This is a limited time only style, so order yours before they crawl away.
Now let's get to the news.
Tonight we're going to share a wonderful dream come true together. In 1955, an amazing man named Walt Disney dreamt of a magic kingdom.
Happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Not a specific piece of Disneyland news, but could impact the resort in the future if successful out in Walt Disney World, is a new pricing scheme for park tickets. Not much is known at this time, but it appears that instead of seasonal pricing, like both resorts currently operate under, the new strategy could see pricing changes on day-to-day basis. The tickets will also have a much smaller window for use. The new pricing will begin at Disney World on October 16th. Disney was clear that the reason for this change was overcrowding and trying to provide the best value for everyone. It seems like only a matter of time until this comes to Disneyland.
Yeah, there was a lot of surprise with this, with people thinking that it was shocking that Disney World that this was being launched at, because they are getting Galaxy's Edge actually later than Disneyland next year. And so they thought that this would be the type of thing that would show up at Disneyland first, but it is not. It's going to Disney World. I'm interested to see if this does come to Disneyland. I'm pretty sure it's going to come to Disneyland. It's definitely a totally different idea, because right now the way that the park works is you go, and depending on what season it is, you buy tickets for that season. But now if you want to buy tickets, it really depends on when you're going, how many days you're going, and depending on all of those factors, your price per day changes.
Yeah, I worry a little too about that smaller window. So it's like, how much can people really plan ahead for their park trips?
Yeah, well, the window is, if you buy, let's say you go on the Disneyland website, and or well, right now it's the Disney World website. If you go on the Disney World website, and let's say, like, for instance, like our upcoming D23 trip that we're planning. So if you say that you're going to be at the park from the 23rd, you know, to the, you know, the 30th, you could only use that ticket that you buy just a couple days before that time frame or a couple days after. You're pretty much locked into those dates, where like right now, if you buy a Park Hopper ticket, you can kind of use it anytime before the end of that calendar year.
Yeah, that flexibility is really nice, especially for people who live a little closer to the parks than us.
Agreed. Well, if you plan on attending one of Mickey's Halloween parties this year, you might see an addition to the Frightfully Fun Parade. Vampirina has joined the last float of the parade along with the villains.
I think this will be a really nice touch, especially for the younger kids that will be watching the shows that have Vampirina in it. You know, it's always nice to see those familiar faces.
Yeah, and it's nice, too, that they are adding something to a parade. I always like when they add or change things, especially to things like a parade. Kind of keeps it fresh, you know. A lot of, you know, we've talked numerous times that at Disneyland, a lot of the guests are returning people over and over again. So keeping it fresh and adding new stuff, especially to extra cost items like Mickey's Halloween Party, I think is a good deal.
I think it's nice, too, because, you know, a lot of times on the show we talk about cross-promoting between movies, TV, and the parks, and I think this is a nice, easy way to simply do that as well.
Agreed.
If you haven't purchased tickets to Mickey's Halloween Party, you are now out of luck, as all dates have now sold out. A limited number of tickets may be available if you call the resort, visit the ticket booths, or are a guest at a Disney Resort hotel. These are extremely limited, so your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I was reading about this. Just to clarify a little bit, the limited amount of tickets that might be available if you call the resort, they do release some as the time gets closer. But if you call the resort and they say that they are out of tickets, don't bother visiting the ticket booths. They go off the same allotment of tickets. However, if you're a Disney Resort Hotel member, on the date of the Halloween party, you can ask. And there's been conflicting reports whether you have to be a concierge level or above at the resort to get those tickets or access to those limited tickets. But they go on availability at 5:30 a.m. the day of the party. So I wouldn't plan your Halloween party tickets. I wouldn't book at the hotel expecting you're going to get a Halloween party ticket the day of.
I always kind of laugh because I'm like, man, Halloween's not for another month. But you really got to be on top of your game if you want these special events.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if they're going to follow suit like Disney World and start offering more dates for the Halloween party and encroach into August.
I mean, if it's this popular and people want to keep on enjoying it, it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, mobile ordering is continuing to expand throughout the resort. As of September 25th, Idlewise Snacks, Stage Door Cafe, the Refreshment Quarter, and the Royal Street Veranda have been added to the system. This brings the total to 22 locations where you can pre-order your food through the Disneyland app and pick up your order once you arrive.
Pretty sure that's Edelweiss Snacks.
Well, you know German.
It's true. I love that they're adding more and more of the mobile ordering. I think it's a nice, convenience, and easy way to help people get through the line and get exactly what they want, especially if they're picky eaters like you are.
Well, yes. In fact, I have been using a lot of mobile apps for dining locations in, just in our area, all the fast food locations, because I am kind of pickier. It's a lot easier for me to go into an app and say, minus this, add this, whatever, and not have that weird, you know, through the drive-thru or even at the counter explaining your whole order. The other thing that I think is good here, too, with mobile ordering in general is just, you know, a lot of times people are going with families and kids. You already spend so much time in line that it's nice to be able to bypass a line and just go up and grab the food.
Especially if the kid is a little bit indecisive or gets a little shy as soon as they have to actually order, it's probably much easier to just do it on the phone.
Yeah.
Have you been using the Disneyland app for showtimes, wait times, and other related things? If so, this news shouldn't rain on your parade too hard. Gone are the days of Disneyland handing out times guides with the park guide maps. If you want this information, you'll be expected to check the app. And if you're determined to use a paper copy, you can still pick one up from guest services.
Yep. More and more things are going to the app. And, you know, nowadays, almost everybody has a smartphone anyway. But it is nice for those few people that don't have a smartphone or don't want to rely on their battery making it through the day that you can still pick up a paper copy. Although, I do think the days of that are numbered.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, nice for sustainability purposes that they don't have to print out so much, but it's definitely a cost saver for them more than that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, after a long wait, the upstairs dining room at Naples and Downtown Disney has opened. The new space includes a new walkout patio, an open concept kitchen where diners can watch their food being prepared, and more. The third phase of the renovations are due to be completed later this year. The first phase was the outdoor patio on the main level that opened earlier this year.
I remember seeing pictures of that first outdoor patio that opened and how nice of a space that looks. So if the second renovation phase is anything like that, it's going to be a cool space to hang out at.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a very nice space up there from the pictures. We'll have links in our show notes to see that if you'd like to.
And I know how much you like watching like food being made and stuff, especially when you go out for your little sushi dates and watch the chefs put that together. So I imagine this is going to make it up on your list of places you want to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love eating at Naples anyway, but adding the fact that you can watch them make your food, I just like seeing kind of behind the scenes of stuff, and this adds to that for me.
Well, if you take a stroll through downtown Disney, you will see that they have decked out the district with yellow, red, orange, and green pumpkins, squash, giant gourds, marigolds, mums, and ferns. After you enjoy the nice harvest-themed decorations, you can treat yourself to some fall-flavored treats. Jamba Juice has pumpkin smash and pumpkin harvest protein drinks. Kayla's Cake has pumpkin cheese macaron with pumpkin cheesecake ganache. Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen has Witch's Brew cocktail with cinnamon, spice, and everything nice. Sprinkles has pumpkin cupcakes and limited-time assortment boo boxes. There's pumpkin spice churro at California Churro, a jack-o'-lantern caramel apple candy corn and pumpkin spice flavor cotton candy flavors at Cotton Candy Creations, and finally a cinnamon bits and caramel dip at Wetzel's Pretzel.
As always, lots of good treats. It is good to see that not only do the parks themselves have treats that you can kind of partake in, but also downtown Disney. Some of these sound really good. Of course, you know me. I am a macaron fanatic. So a pumpkin cheese macaron with pumpkin cheesecake ganache sounds wonderful. The Witch's Brew cocktail also sounds like it could be interesting.
I just love that it's like more of a generic fall theme, so it can carry through longer. And so it's not just another Halloween stop with the parks.
It's also nice that it's not just pumpkin spice this and pumpkin spice that.
Yes, I am firm agreement with you on that one.
Yeah. Hotel cast members from Unite Here Local 11 will be getting a pay increase of 40% over the next 2 years, raising the minimum wage in January 2019 to $15 an hour, with housekeepers seeing an increase to $15.80 an hour immediately. Last month, Disney also announced a program called Disney Aspire, which will provide cast members with resources to learn, grow, and achieve through a $150 million investment over the next 5 years.
I'm so glad to hear about these changes.
Yeah, me too. The fact that they are adding, you know, maybe the pay isn't great. You know, $15 is you know, especially out here, like in the Midwest, $15 an hour is a great rate. However, we all know how expensive Southern California is, so $15 an hour still is minimum wage. But adding this additional perk of being able to get things, I assume that a lot of this resources for the cast members with this $150 million investment is tuition reimbursement, classes that they're going to put on, access to different programs that Disney's probably also going to offer. I mean, there's a lot of resources that Disney has just within the company that they could have cast members go and mentor with people that are in these higher positions that I think, you know, wouldn't really cost them very much, just time.
Yeah, and it's so important for them to give everyone these opportunities to continue to learn and invest in all of their people, because especially when you get high-quality employees, like if you're just paying them minimum wage, if you can give them other benefits, that's really going to help them feel engaged with the company and want to stick around.
Yeah, and, you know, being able to move up in the company. I also saw in the article that accompanied this, and it will be in our show notes, that this actually... the company has already seen a huge amount of interest, more than they expected, in this program.
Yeah, so hopefully it works out, and hopefully they don't have to keep on fighting for a living wage as they keep on fighting for that.
Agreed.
Well, the Main Street Cinema has come out from behind construction wall to display a new paint scheme reminiscent of colors that represent Mickey Mouse. It does make the cinema stand out among its neighbors, although the jury is out on whether this is a good thing or not. There's not been any changes to the interior at this time.
This is definitely a bold color scheme. The pictures I saw of this, you know, there's some black actually as a part of this display. And the pictures I've seen where it is in contrast to the buildings next to it are very, it definitely stands out. I'm not sure if it's, my opinion is that I'm not sure if it's good. I mean, I think the colors and everything look nice, and it's nice that it's the 90th birthday of Mickey Mouse here. However, I don't know if you want buildings sticking out so much with the other buildings. You kind of want them to kind of blend together as a main street, not kind of have, oh, that one's really different than the others.
Yeah, especially with the theme that exists in Main Street. It's like, I'm all about like updating and making changes and staying with times and whatnot, but Main Street has a clear intention in what it's supposed to look like, and having a bold building stand out, I don't think fits with the time period that it represents. I mean, I guess it'll probably grow on me over time, but for now, like, that's where my eye is going to get drawn immediately, as this kind of sticks out a little bit. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, like I said, with the use of the bold, like, black and the darker reds, it definitely is contrasting compared to the, you know, rest of the street. And if you look at a picture of what it used to look like, it definitely, you know, the brick didn't stand out as much. It was more muted colors. One thing I will say is perhaps they're kind of planning for the future. I have noticed with, especially like at Pixar Pier already, a lot of the vivid colors that they have over there because of the hot California sun has already kind of toned down. So I'm wondering if this looks really vivid and bright and colorful and draws your eye, but maybe a couple months in the sun and it'll be back to its normal, it'll kind of blend in more.
Gosh, if that's the case, that's really smart planning by the people that came up with this design.
Agreed, agreed. Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump this week me with Disney trivia. James will read me the question, I'll attempt to answer it, and then James will give us the answers after the discussion topic. So what do you have for me this week, James, that Teresa gets to luckily bow out of this week?
She
so
gets,
stump me.
She gets to play along with everyone else in the podcast this week. So, well, since we're talking so much about the 50th anniversary this week, I tried a little bit to get stuff related to the 50th anniversary. Some of this is a stretch, so bear with me. So as part of the anniversary, Disney created collages of guest-submitted pictures into pieces of art around the park. What was the campaign called?
The campaign for the mosaics?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Man, going back, what is that, 13 years? 14 years? 13 years?
13 years, yeah.
Ooh. I know it was, I know that the, oh, geez, the campaign, it was the Happiest Homecoming on Earth was the campaign for the whole resort. But I don't know.
You're on the right track with that. It's very similar. It was good branding.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see how it goes. At the park, the holiday season also commemorated the 50th anniversary with a gold tree. Where did the gold tree come from?
I don't, you know, that's another one I'm stumped by. I think that normally the Christmas trees and stuff come from somewhere in Northern California, but I have no idea specifically where. Somewhere in the Redwoods, would be my guess.
You're on the right track with Northern California.
I love just being on the right track, but I don't have the actual answers. So let's move on.
All right. So since we're talking about the golden anniversary, let's talk about gold.
Okay.
There's a gold spike inside the entrance to the castle. What does it signify?
Well, it's supposed to signify the geographic center of Disneyland, but that is not what it signifies anymore. It was a wayfinding marker thing for construction-y things.
And speaking of gold, at least one attraction has lots of 24 karat gold on the exterior. Which one?
Now, is this specifically for the 50th or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay. In Disneyland Park or California Adventure or either?
The attraction I have is in Disneyland Park.
Okay. Covered in gold.
Not completely covered.
The exterior?
Yes.
Whew. Let's see. I'm going to say the golden horseshoe, because that just makes sense to me.
All right. And I have a bonus question for you this week, because we're going to look ahead to the future and future anniversaries.
Okay.
There's a time capsule buried in the park near the castle. What anniversary will that be opened up?
I want to correct you. At Disneyland, it is called the Time Castle, is what it's called where it's buried. And, hey, I had to know something of these questions.
It makes sense.
And I believe that that will be opened on the 100th anniversary of the park.
Bold choice.
But I could be wrong.
We'll find out if they're right.
You know, I feel like you went very, wait, don't tell me with the, since we're talking about stuff, let's take a theme of gold and go with that question.
I couldn't find good questions otherwise, so I picked a theme.
All right. Well, please stay tuned for the correct answers from James at the end of the show. All right. Well, this week, since we're celebrating our 50th episode, we thought it'd be a good opportunity to talk about the 50th anniversary celebration at Disneyland back in 2005. Well, what better way to start off the conversation than to talk to someone who worked there during the celebration, Lynn Barron. Welcome, Lynn.
Hey, thanks for having me. Well, as you guys probably already know, Lynn is the co-author of the book Cleaning the Kingdom and hosts the Sweep Spot podcast with his co-author, Ken Pellman. So what we usually do in the beginning when we have any guests on the show is we like to kind of hear your Disney backstory. So a lot of us already know that you spent some time actually working there, but what made you first fall in love with Disney and Disneyland?
I think just growing up in Southern California, it was something that we did as a family every year.
Sure.
I mean, although we only lived, 20 miles away, we only went once, maybe twice a year. And then growing up as a teenager, became an annual pass holder. And then I was there so much later after I graduated that my mom said, you're there so much, you might as well, go there and work.
Might as well get paid to be there, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Smart lady.
Yeah, but I've always always appreciated the history. Like when I went, it wasn't just a... let's go on all the fast rides or let's do that. It was just, I always appreciated the atmosphere and what it was.
It is very neat. It's very magical to be there, not just because of the magic that they put on there, but just, you're right, the history and just everything that goes into it is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that I was just thinking about, because as we said at the beginning here, you actually worked at the resort during the 50th anniversary celebration. You know, what's funny is I was there for the 50th anniversary celebration, so I feel like I might have seen you and just not even known it.
Probably, yeah.
So before we get into specifics of the 50th, kind of for people who may not know, kind of what did you do at the Disneyland Resort, and like kind of when did you start, and what kind of roles did you go through there?
I went through two different times that I worked there. I was in foods, like a busser at the Plaza Inn, and there was a restaurant called the Plaza Pavilion that was over where the Jolly Holiday Bakery is. And okay. I bussed tables there, and that was for 2 years as a part-time. And then I actually got fired for my attendance. But I was, at that time, I was only like 20 years old, and I just didn't really, didn't know what I was doing and what I wanted to do. But then I came back in 1998, and that was when I started in custodial, and I worked there until 2007.
Now, when you came back, did you want to work in custodial, or did they kind of just throw you where they needed you?
Yeah, I asked for custodial because my wife actually had a friend that was in custodial, and she said it was the best because you got to walk around, you got to work in different locations every day. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. So
awesome.
See, I could understand that. So we had another person that was a former cast member. He was at Walt Disney World, though, and he worked at Space Mountain primarily. And I said I'd have such a hard time with that because I don't think I could sit there watching everybody board this attraction that I was not allowed to go on with them. So I think I'd have to be with you and have to be kind of wandering around.
I think listening to your podcast, Lynn, you guys have talked about stories of being able to go, in certain backstage areas that a lot of people, a lot of nerds anyway, would give their left arm to be able to go and experience some of these places. And I can't remember if it was you or Ken that would talk about how, like, you could go in the backstage areas with Pirates of the Caribbean, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, we both had those chances to do that.
So you worked there for a few years before the 50th anniversary. So what kind of changes when you were a cast member there kind of led up to the 50th anniversary celebration?
That's a good question. I'm glad you mentioned that because the park, when I mean, it was really busy. I mean, we had the Mulan Parade going on the summer I showed up, and there was the new Tomorrowland that, had like the rocket rods all the changes there. So it was very popular. I mean, it was crowded, but at the same time, the park was being neglected in other ways as far as maintenance, painting, just the way that, I mean, the castle was so faded, and things that maybe regular guests may not have noticed, but and you're there, just comparing it over the years, you can tell that things were starting to, there was some managers there that was, that's a whole, you could read about it. We have a chapter about it at the end of our book, but there were some bad decisions made and some things going on. So in 2003, they brought in a new Disneyland president. That was Matt Wiemet and assistant.
This guy was a rock star.
Greg Immers. Yeah, I know. He came in there and just cleaned that place up. And they painted everything. I mean, everything. The castle was repainted, all the shops. And I mean, they brought him in for that reason. And he did a really good job.
Yeah, I remember leading up to the 50th anniversary because this was a year or two after I started getting annual passes, you know, to go to the park, because at the time they were actually fairly affordable, not like now. But and I remember thinking that there was a lot of stuff that was run down and things were faded and things were chipping. And of course, with the advent of the internet, everybody goes online and any little thing you see that's out of place or out of whack, right, they're going to complain about. And you still have that today. In a way, I think it's good because it does hold them accountable to, you know, Disney put themselves in this position to have a premium product, and so they got to keep it a premium product.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I remember when they announced that Matt we met was going to come in, and I just remember that, like, the whole place was just covered in scrims and tarps and everything. Like, everything was, just like you said, everything was getting overhauled.
Right.
Hey, well, if it needed it, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just in time, too, if I remember right, like, it was down to the wire getting all that stuff completed.
Oh, yeah. And it was something that customers, we kept hearing about, you know, this was going down for this or that. And just the hype and the talk about 50th coming up, you know, was just exciting to see happen.
How did you feel being able to have the opportunity to be there for its 50th anniversary?
I knew that it was significant, that would be historical event, because I mean, the next big one like that would be what, 100, you know, so I don't
right,
know
yeah.
I know I wouldn't make that one but well, maybe, you never know, but that's 40 years from now.
I was gonna say, you wouldn't be able to experience it the same way, for sure,
right? Yeah. Oh yeah, I wouldn't be working there. Yeah, but I everyone kind of had that sense that this is something big and this is historical and we're part of it.
That's so awesome. So tell us about, were you a part? So I don't know if our listeners know this, but the day before the celebration started for the 50th, they actually closed Disneyland to the public so that they can kind of get everything ready. Were you a part of that preparation on May 4th of 2005?
I was. And they closed it, but there was, like, it was kind of a media, like a sneak peek from some of the media that day. And so there was stuff going on. We were doing a lot of extra cleaning, little detail stuff, but there was that. And then they did some filming for some things that day. It wasn't the big ceremony that they had later, but they were doing some filming. And probably, you know, for commercials, I would assume, to get ready for the whole thing. But the hotel guests that were staying during that time period on that night, they were allowed to go into the park and be a part of that film.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's really interesting. So, the big day, May 5th, the official opening and kickoff for the party. Were you working that day, or were you attending as a guest? I feel like you had to be there one way or another, right?
Yeah, I was working. I was trying to remember because it's all kind of getting blurry. So they did the big event was the one they did in front of the castle, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, it looks like it officially began with a dedication from the then Disney CEO, which was Michael Eisner. Mm-hmm. And it looks like there was fireworks, speeches from Julie Andrews. She was actually the official ambassador for the 50th celebration. Art Linkletter, which was one of the original anchors for the opening day broadcast. Looks like there was all sorts of big names there. Christina Aguilera, Leanne Rimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Disneyland. You know, it's the first theme park ever.
Yeah,
I'd be there if I could. I mean, I was there, but I mean, like, if I was a celebrity, I'd try to be there.
So tell us about your experience with that day. Were you amidst all the chaos, or were you in some quiet corner of the park where you didn't have to deal with all of the madness?
I was right in the middle. So during that ceremony that you see, you've probably seen on YouTube or wherever, off to the right of the castle is where we were kind of staged. Because as soon as it ended, there was confetti, you know, everything. And then right? And they had chairs set up for all the people that were invited in front of the castle on the kind of like the street, like where the trolley goes. They had all these chairs and people set up there and cameras and everything. And so as soon as it ended, we were told to go over there and start cleaning up. So I was part of that whole thing.
Happy 50th birthday. Now go clean up all this mess we just made.
Yeah, as I saw the confetti falling massively, I thought, oh boy, there we go.
Oh man. Yeah. I hope you guys got good photos.
Yeah, right. It looks like it was staged pretty nice, actually. I'm looking at a pretty widescreen shot of it right now. It looks pretty cool. And, you know, the castle was just gorgeous for the 50th anniversary. They really cleaned it up and made it look really tasteful. I mean, the crowns maybe were a little much, but otherwise, I think the gold accents and stuff were very nice. I was disappointed. I know that this is talking about the 50th anniversary, not the 60th, but I was a little disappointed by the 60th castle transformation. It wasn't exactly my favorite decoration of the castle.
Nah. Yeah.
So thinking back to the 50th anniversary, what are some things that really stuck out to you during that time frame of the park?
I can't think of any particular moment, but just the whole thing in general with what was going on and the extra crowds that we had. And the just, you know, for the cast members, they were, you know, we had gold name tags that they had made up for us. And I was looking at it right now. I was trying to figure out. They had our hometown because, you know, it's called the Homecoming.
Yeah.
So it was for the first time ever we had our city and our state, where we came from.
Yeah, so that kind of continues to today, doesn't it? Have they started kind of keeping with that? Or
I think they do. I think they still have that today. But it started with that.
Yeah, I forgot that it was the happiest homecoming out of it. I forgot that that was the little slogan that kind of went along with it. But I remember liking how classy all the stuff looked. You know, they made the gold stuff look really nice, and along with the deeper blue was nice, and the name tags looked great. And then, of course, it was fun. They added a bunch of stuff. I mean, they still kind of do some of this stuff for some, Easter and stuff. But they had the 50 Mickey ears that were all over the park that you had to go find.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, all of the original attractions had a gold-painted one of the ride vehicles.
Oh, cool.
And then were those also the ones that were, sat out? Because I was reading, and I can't remember specifics off the top of my head right now.
So I have a list here. If you
yeah,
perfect.
Teresa loves lists.
I do.
Oh, good. Some of the attractions only had a displayed. Now I could be wrong on some of this, but the carousel, you know, Jingles, the horse.
Yeah.
That he was painted gold, the whole entire thing. Then they had a Dumbo. They had a display one that was off, kind of near. That little pathway in between Casey Jr. and Dumbo, that backside, they had a display one where you could get in and, you know, have your photo taken. And then they had one on the ride itself that was painted gold. Mm-hmm. And many of these did that, like the teacups. They had the display teacup over near that hatch up there.
I thought the teacup one was cool because my friend Laura, she doesn't like going on the teacups because it makes her nauseous. Mm-hmm. But it was nice that she could get a picture, a nice photo opportunity with a teacup, but without actually having to be on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they had that teacup on display for a while. I don't know if it's still. But not the gold
one. Yeah, there is one still on display, but yeah, I think it's... I feel like it's either blue or pink.
Won't be doing it for much longer because they're ripping out stuff for walkways. That'll be one of the first things that goes.
I know. Huh? Storybook, canal boats. They had that lighthouse that used to be the old ticket, used to sell tickets out of. You know what?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was gold.
Gold
stripes.
Oh, yeah. I actually had forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the boats. One of the boats were gold, too. Peter Pan had a display one, and they probably had a ride vehicle one that was gold too. I don't remember seeing it. Snow White just had the above, where it says Snow White's Scary Adventures up on top. It had, that was kind of a gold. They didn't have a vehicle.
Gotcha.
and Jungle Cruise had one gold boat.
Oh, that's
really
cool.
See, like, I don't remember that one either.
The Mark Twain had gold on certain parts of it, like the smokestacks,
which looked amazing.
Yeah. The horse-drawn cars. There was one whole vehicle that was gold, like the horses pull.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, okay.
The Main Street Cinema on Main Street had just the sign above it. They had like some gold drapery on it.
Okay.
Oh, I missed one in Fantasyland. Mr. Toad had a display one.
Oh, sure.
Yep. Front.
And Casey Jr., their train, they had it all gold. And Utopia had a display and a ride vehicle. So those were the opening ones.
Yeah. I thought that was cool that they kind of did that because it kind of, you know, really paid homage to the original attractions that were there when the park opened. Because I feel like if you're a casual Disneyland visitor, you don't really know that.
Right.
So it's nice to kind of have these little touches that people can get kind of learn the history behind it. Because, you know, like you said, Lynn, like, you know, you like the history behind all the stuff. So for you, this was probably like a dream come true, seeing all this like history brought back up. And
oh, yeah. It was fun. They did a lot of extra stuff that that really made it feel special. They did the mosaics.
I do remember the mosaics. I don't remember a lot of specifics.
So it was, you can submit your photos of times, yeah, like your family at Disneyland or whatever. And cast were actually encouraged to do that too. And then because they didn't get so many, they started using like cast member like our ID pictures like on the things. But they, yeah, so they would, those would be displayed throughout the park, like in just various locations. And not just Disneyland, they had those over at California Adventure too.
Yeah, because this was like nowadays, sometimes they'll have those big cutout display photo pass spots. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that, but with a mosaic,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
If I remember right. Yeah. Because the only thing that sticks out to me mosaic-wise is the video that Steve Martin did in the Opera House. Mm-hmm. Had at the end was a bunch of people's pictures from Disney that made like it made the castle at the end of that video, which I also thought that was good. I like the fact that Steve Martin worked at the Magic Shop in Disneyland, and I thought his storytelling about, you know, the park and everything was really good. So I'm like you, I like the history, so I'm really glad that they kind of had that.
Yeah, they
and seeing all the cool stuff like the old ticket books and stuff that I never got to see.
Yeah, they did a lot of different things. They'd had, of course, the new fireworks show, the Remember Dreams Come True.
Oh, yes. Tag's favorite.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That is my favorite. That is my favorite fireworks show because, so it's kind of, I've said this on the show before, but I don't know if you heard it, but basically, I was there. We arrived on the 4th of May because we wanted to make sure we'd be in on the 5th right away. So we had tickets that day. We went to California Adventure, which is the day we realized, because California Adventure did not have a lot of the stuff it has now.
Oh.
So we realized halfway through the day that there's not anything to do in California Adventure. But I digress. We knew that night that they were probably going to show the fireworks off, but we weren't going to be able to be in the park. So we actually went, we were in the Esplanade, I believe, and we were watching the fireworks because they did test run the fireworks. And you could kind of hear the music, but not great. And you obviously couldn't see anything on the castle or anything. But I just remember being so excited because the whole idea of e-tickets in the sky just blew my mind, the fact that they were going to do this. So then when I actually got to see it, I thought it was just amazing. And even now, I still think it's the best fireworks show that any of the Disney parks have put on that I've seen. The only thing that I would say, well, the other thing is I went to Disney World. You know, and everybody's been talking about Wishes and how great Wishes was, and Wishes is the best fireworks ever. Well, I watched Wishes, and it's not a bad show, but not, it just wasn't the level of spectacle that Remember Dreams Come True was.
No.
And so I was telling people, I said, once Disney World gets a fireworks show that has projections and all that with it, then you'll understand. And now they have the, I can't remember what it's called out in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But they have the new one that has
projections.
That's
Walt Disney World. This is Disneyland.
Well, I'm just saying they have this new one, and it was really good. So, when's the last time you were at the park, Lynn?
See, last July. Yeah, just about.
A couple months ago.
Just over a year ago.
Yeah.
Or a year and a couple months ago.
Oh, no, just a couple months ago.
Oh.
Oh, so you went for Pixar Fest.
Yeah, I was there for that. Yeah.
How was it?
It was okay. It was good. I think it was just a little, something like a quick thing they did that they needed something for the summer, to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was, they could have done better, but I thought it was good for what it was. Most of it seemed like food.
Lots of food.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they've been really emphasizing food lately. Mm-hmm. And I know that on the show we've been talking a lot about the food because I just feel like, I don't know what happened in the last, I'd say like 3 to 5 years, but I feel like whoever they have that's running the kitchens there really kicked it up a notch. Because for a while there, I thought the food was kind of going downhill. And I didn't think, even at places that, even at, like the Blue Bayou, where you expect to have good food. I went there and ate a few years ago, and I just didn't think it was that great. I was really disappointed.
Yeah,
but then, the last time I went, it was great. And it seems like people are really enjoying the food now. So, and they're making money hand over fist.
I think they're finding that other, Universal, other places are starting to really step it up too, which is good because then it makes everyone step it up. So,
So, do you think that the 50th anniversary kind of kicked off the park being the popularity of the park? Do you think it really increased the popularity of the park? Because I feel like that's about the time when it seemed like the crowds seemed to start amping up and it started that kind of no off season feel.
Yeah. To me, it kind of felt like a reboot, kind of like a renewal, start over from its decline. We had some accidents and things that had happened, unfortunately. And then it was sort of like this reboot, we're going to clean it up and here it is. And it felt good. And that's the way it felt being there, being a part of it too. It just kind of felt with the new management. Matt was great. Just really friendly, always coming up to us and saying hi and talking to us. And it just, the whole thing just felt refreshing.
And you know what's amazing to me is that reboot has been, 13 years ago, and still the park is just booming. And it's amazing to think that that all started for the 50th.
Yeah, I think it did. The amount of, the people that I have so many opinions on, the amount of people that are there is just ridiculous now. And there isn't an off season. And I remember as soon as summer ended, Labor Day, it just, hours went down for cast members. Things got slow. It was nice because we had worked so hard and it was so crowded during the summer. It was like a breath of fresh air to kind of slow down. And, talking to friends that work there now, that they just say, yeah, that never happens. So I don't know. Adding Star Wars Land to an already overcrowded park was the best idea.
Yeah.
But it will add more acreage, so maybe be spread out a little more. I'm trying to think positively because I really wanted them to do a third park and not have Star Wars Land there, but too late. Yeah.
that would have really been ideal if that just would have been separate. Or maybe put it over in California Adventure. I don't know where, but put it over there. Because I feel like, you're right, Disneyland itself, there isn't an off-season anymore. It's just lots of crowding.
Yeah.
And lots of people. Plus, there's just tons and tons of attractions crammed into such a little area, which is awesome for me, the park goer. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens once they open up Galaxy's Edge.
I am a little
sad that they're taking away my planters, though. I don't know if you've heard me talking about this.
I did, yeah.
And it's not just the fact that it was that single planter. The thing that I really loved about the area and just the whole park in general is that there was so many different green aspects of it. There were trees. There were, you go over to Universal and it's just concrete. And it's just not interesting to look at. So it's sad to me that they're taking that away.
California Adventure's that way too.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of concrete, not a lot of shade, which in the Southern California weather, you need some shade.
Yeah.
Okay. So another question we ask all of our guests, all of our guests. And so when you go into the park, when you go into Disneyland, which direction do you go? Do you go left into Adventureland? Do you go right into Tomorrowland? Do you go forward into Fantasyland? Where do you go?
Yeah, we always try to go to the left because she likes going through the left tunnel. But the right one, like you said, depending on where you're in line to get in. Mm-hmm. Couldn't determine that too. I don't know. It's been various, but as far as what you were saying, the first question, we always go to the left to Adventureland or Frontierland. Mm-hmm. My son is a huge Big Thunder fan, so that seems to be the first one a lot of times.
You gotta do that good first, attraction. Your favorite attraction first. There's something about that. It's just so satisfying. Especially when you don't have to wait in the line. You can just walk right on.
Yes.
Depends on when you, right? Are you talking like when a park first opens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Because Indy would be a good choice because that line fills up fast.
It does. You know, in fact, when I was just there in the spring, so like it was in May, that's usually what I try to do. I go right to Indiana Jones first. And the line was backed almost all the way up to, it was past like the Jungle Cruise queue area. And I was like, what is this? This never happens. Usually you can just, you know, zip right on there. But
yeah,
apparently everybody else has figured it out.
Well, some people were complaining, I saw online recently that people were complaining that sometimes Indy isn't open when the park first opens because they keep having problems. It needs to go down for an extensive refurbishment and it just hasn't.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Sometimes it'll be a delayed opening and at that point, yeah, you just go Big Thunder or Pirates or Mansion or something over on that side. You can go on Splash first thing. Most of the time, the last few times we had tried that, they will say, do you want to ride again? But usually we're soaking wet. We're like, no. But yeah.
What's your favorite attraction in the park, Lynn?
Pirates of Caribbean was an obvious one over the past few years, but I'm not real fond of some of the changes recently.
Sure.
Without getting all political, but just I appreciate what they did and the reasoning and all that with the redhead, but I just don't like that scene
you
as much
miss
anymore.
The original redhead.
I do.
That's okay.
I do. And I don't like as much of the Johnny Depp. I think there was a time for that, but I think it's time to kick him out. But
off with his head.
Yeah, but Haunted Mansion I would say is a real strong second.
We have one last question for you, Lynn. Again, another one that we ask all of the guests that come on the show.
Okay.
So, if you were to work at Disneyland again, what position or what area would you want to choose? And sky's the limit. So, you could even be the CEO if you really wanted to. So, what would you choose?
Oh, boy. I wouldn't want to say CEO because it seems unrealistic, but I know what you're saying.
Also a lot of stress.
Yeah, more money, but yeah, more stress. Man, that is hard.
Was there any position when you were there that you always kind of looked at like, man, I need that job?
Maybe the tour guides because
that
I don't
is
know,
a cool one.
Yeah, but then they rotate because then sometimes they'll be working in City Hall and then they hear all the complaints. So,
it's not always a cakewalk.
Actually, I know now. I would be because I play drums. I've semi-professional. You know, I played a lot, long time. I would want to be a musician there. Yes,
that's good. We've not had anyone say that. I like that.
Anywhere in particular?
New Orleans Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would there be any other place tag?
Main Street. You could play on Main Street.
Oh, yeah, Main Street.
Yeah, yeah. Or Tomorrowland.
Lynn, thanks for joining us this week and talking about your experience with the 50th anniversary. And for anybody who's interested in hearing more of you, where can people hear more about you or read about you? Or
you can, for everything, you pretty much go to our website, www.thesweepspot.com, and that has all the information there. You can buy our book, Queening the Kingdom, there. And our Queen of the Kingdom is also on audio book through Audible or Amazon or iTunes, Kindle version of the book too. So, yeah.
It's a great book. We highly, highly, highly recommend reading it.
Even a good dog treat, apparently.
Yes. Well, thank you again so much for your time, Lynn. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Lynn. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right, James, we're now back after that discussion with Lynn. So let's revisit the trivia that I did horribly on. So let's go.
I blame this on you for telling me a theme that I had to try to go with.
Okay, well, I deserved it, and I didn't do any research for it. So I'm, but you're just fine, because I don't ever do any research for it, and that's kind of the fun.
Exactly. So as part of the anniversary, Disney created collages of guest-submitted pictures into pieces of art, or mosaics, as you called it, around the park. What was the campaign called?
I said that the campaign was called the Happiest Homecoming, right? Is what I said.
Yep.
And Lynn told us that fun story about how some of the people were supposed to submit pictures, but they ended up using some cast member pictures.
That's funny.
That's all I got.
So the campaign was called the Happiest Faces on Earth. Rumor has it that more than 200,000 pictures were submitted to be part of the mosaic, and the mosaics themselves, they used 500,000 pictures to create it, which at the time was a record for the most complex photo collage ever created.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Crazy stuff. The park also commemorated the 50th anniversary during the holiday season by decking out their tree in gold. Where did it come from?
I said Northern California in the Redwoods somewhere.
Yeah, so it came from Shasta, California.
Yep, that's Northern California, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Half a point for that one.
Yeah, I'll give you half a point for that one. So, a fun fact, when the 50th was going on, Disneyland Resort was the only park still using a live tree as its holiday centerpiece.
Which I don't think they are anymore. I think it is now
an artificial tree.
Artificial tree that they decorate every year.
Which is a shame. You know, there's something nice about that smell you get from a tree.
Yeah, but I think that they decided to go, along with a lot of the stuff that they're doing now, more environmentally conscious. So something that they can put together again year after year and not have to chop down a big old tree. Especially for the size of that tree. I mean, it has to be an old tree to be as tall as the one there. So.
And also guarantees consistency. And we know how much the resort likes consistency.
Yeah.
All right, so since we're talking about the golden anniversary, let's talk about gold. There's a gold spike inside the entrance to the castle. What does it signify?
And I said that it was the marker that was supposed to signify the geographic center of the park, but that is inaccurate now.
It was actually never accurate. You bought into the rumor.
Okay.
So the gold spike, kind of a trick question. It was there for the surveyor to make sure that Main Street was centered on the drawbridge when they were building the park.
See, I did say it was a surveyor whatever marker, so that's half a point again. So I've earned 1 point so far.
1 point so far. Not terrible. So speaking of gold, at least one attraction has lots of 24 karat gold on its exterior. Which one?
And I said Golden Horseshoe. That's the only thing I could think of that had a lot of gold.
Yeah, you should have gone to the other side of the park with It's a Small World.
Oh, that makes sense now, though, because it's like gold leaf, isn't it?
It is,
yeah.
All right, so I asked you a bonus question as well, as there's a time capsule, which you corrected me to be called Time Castle.
They called it the Time Castle.
Buried in the park. Which anniversary will they open it up for?
And I said like the 100th, because that just made sense.
You are making people wait 2 decades too long. It'll be opened on the 80th in 2035.
Why the 80th?
I want to say it was 50 years after they buried it, but I don't remember.
So they buried it on the 30th anniversary. Oh, that makes sense. Now that I say that, I think the 30th anniversary or something, I think they had, yeah, I think that sounds right.
Oh, you know I'm good at spreading misinformation in trivia time, so.
Well, oh, geez. Well, so I got, what, 1 point?
1 point.
Out of 5 questions?
You know. 20%. It's not your worst showing.
I'm gonna have to ask Teresa these questions and see what she says before she listens to the episode.
I'm gonna guess she does about as well as you. She might get the gold leaf on Small World.
She might. We'll have to find out.
Maybe I'll have to be nice next week and make it a little easier. Unless, of course, you listeners send in much more challenging questions.
Oh, yeah.
And you can always submit questions to me by sending an email to producer@disneylandweekly.com. And only I'll get to see those, so we can really see if we can stump Tag and Teresa on future episodes.
And as it's turned out, it's not too hard.
Much easier than we all expected.
Well, do you enjoy listening to Disneyland Weekly? You can show how much you love the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat that we always talk about, that's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Keith N. and head over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
We're always asking for your feedback through social media, but we thought we'd add a couple other ways to communicate with us as well. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 657-345-4445. We might even play it on the show. We've posted our P.O. Box address on the website over on the right side of the page, and that's DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to send us postcards, letters, or whatever, and with all these ways to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
50 years later, Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom has grown to become the happiest place on Earth to millions the world over. A place where anything is possible, where every dreamer may wish upon a star.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.